We'll call the meeting to order. Who's doing the roll call? Lynn, please.
I got it, yeah. Okay. Joyce Dill.
Here.
Phil Krein. Deb Rouge.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here.
And Sue Suter.
Here.
I am Mike Smith, and since Phil isn't here, I'm acting today. Do we have any additions to the agenda? How about citizen input? Mental health board input? We're just running right down it. We need to approve the board minutes from May 18th. Do I hear a motion to do so?
I move they be approved as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Well, as acting president, I have no comments at this time. Peter, do you?
Yeah, just a quick one. More than likely, this is my last board meeting, and I just wanted to tell you what a pleasure it's been to have worked with all of you and with this board since its inception in 2004, or 2005, I guess we started. But anyway, so I want to thank you for all of the hard work that everybody's done, and it's been a pleasure working with you.
Well, I think we would be remiss if we didn't share those regards. I think that a lot of things have happened in 11 years. A lot of things, a lot of good things have happened. This board has been lucky enough to be able to distribute a lot of county tax dollars, and it's the citizens who approved it. It's the citizens who's given us the money to distribute, and it's the clients of the agencies who've benefited. So, under your leadership, that has been a very good thing. Lynn, do you have anything staff report?
I do. I have one thing to add. I know it's a long staff report. One of those events was the town hall webinar hosted by DHSDD, and it was cut off because of technical problems, but among the materials they were going to present were some interesting pieces. What you heard about the Corporation for Supportive Housing project being done across the state, you heard about that like a year and a half ago, so that was one of them. But really interestingly, the state DHSDD plans to go a little bit more deeply into the CQL performance outcome measures. And I thought that was really great that we have two DD providers who are already accredited with CQL. And it might be an interesting study session to I don't know if you want that, but maybe in the fall to hear from them how CQL accreditation works and what they do with the performance outcome measures, how they track those. It's an interesting system. It will be eventually statewide. And then I also, subsequent to that webinar, got materials for another webinar where this is an instrument used in all recovery populations, so behavioral health, so mental health and substance abuse. So those CQL performance measures are really gaining momentum, and I'm really happy that we were one of the first communities to do that in Illinois. So thanks to the agencies for that.
Thank you, Lynn. I am slightly remiss in not having recognized our newest Champaign County Board Representative. Matt Heiser is with us now, and of course, Gary's still with us. Not still with us, but we're honored to have Gary as well.
And then there's Gary.
And then there's Gary. Barb, do you have a report for the expo?
Sorry about that. Yeah, just to let everybody know, the 10th annual Expo, Disability Resource Expo, will be October 15th at the Fluid Events Center from 9 to 2. We are well underway with our planning for this year. Our committees, we have, what, six committees, and they are all meeting and planning and doing all that good stuff. We had one this morning. We actually had two this week. So probably have a little more to share with you next time. We are starting to see some sponsorships come in, and that's always very exciting. Some of our sponsors who have been with us for a long time are continuing, and we're really happy about that. We are always looking for new sponsors. Our entertainment, we're getting that put in place. I don't have too much to say about that yet because nothing confirmed, but that'll be coming down the road as well. We are just completing the, not quite complete, but the Schwann's Cares fundraiser. We have raised over $400 already on that fundraiser, so that's really exciting. If you are anybody's a Schwann's customer and wants to contribute that way, all you have to do is do your online order through Schwann's Cares and schwannscares.com. And put in campaign code 27466, and 5% of your order will come back to the expo, which is really nice. So anyway, that's all I have, I think. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any agency information? Yes.
Did you all get this first card?
Yes.
Okay. I'll pass these out. These are the postcards. Sorry. You have your microphone.
We have developed postcards to promote our grant and inform people who might be interested in participating. Those have been, I gave a big stack to Kim at RPC today, and I've been getting lots of requests for them. So we're hoping for a really good response and getting started quickly on this project. I also wanted to share with you and invite you to attend a person-centered planning training that we are doing separate from the grant funding that the board has provided to us, but it will be in Champaign County. The training is 3 consecutive days, and it will be September 19th through the 21st in Mahomet at the Methodist Church. We are taking a maximum of 15 people for this very intensive training. Hope for a really good response and building a little bit more awareness of person-centered thinking in the county. So that's kind of what we're up to. I've already gotten a number of phone calls for people who are interested in participating in the grant, so that's very exciting as well.
Very good. Thank you.
Do I have to press this to talk?
No, John.
No, okay. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Becca Obachowski, and I'm taking over as Executive Director for GenNAP at Community Choices. I think I've met many of you, but this is the first DDB board meetings that I've been to, so I just wanted to say hello and greetings.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? If not, we'll move on to the approval of claims. Do I hear a motion to approve the claims?
Second.
Discussion? Deb.
Deb.
Do we have to do this roll call?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. July is our month to elect new officers. We have been trying to find a way to postpone that until we have a full board. As you know, we assume Sue's going to be reappointed, although that hasn't occurred yet, and Phil is not going to continue, so we're a board member short. However, it looks like the statutes do not allow us to postpone that. So what we're going to do today is we're going to elect officers subject to an approval of the full board once it sets, or changing if that's what the full board wants. But today we are going to elect a president, and do we call it vice president? Is that what we
Secretary,
call it?
Yeah.
Secretary. So I will take motions for presidents.
I'd like to nominate Deb Roush for president.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Would someone like to move that nomination cease?
I move that nomination cease.
Any discussion? We'll have a vote.
Second on that.
Second. We did have a second, didn't
no,
we?
No, on the second.
Oh, a second.
Second.
Second. Okay, sorry. Now we'll have a vote, roll call vote.
Do we need a motion that this is subject to approval by the board once seated?
No.
Okay.
No.
We're free to do
whatever we want to do in a future time.
Okay. All right. Joyce Dill.
Yes.
Phil Krein. Mike Smith.
Yes.
Sue Suter.
Yes.
Deb Roush.
Yes.
Was that weird?
We also need a motion to do a secretary.
I move that Joyce Dill be nominated as secretary.
I'll second that. Any discussion? And do we have to have a move that, or can we just vote on it?
I think you can vote on it.
Let's have a vote.
Phil Krein, Deb Roush,
yes.
Mike Smith,
yes.
Sue Suter,
yes.
Joyce Dill.
Yes.
All right.
Excellent.
Congratulations, Joyce.
Do you want to take over now, or do you want to wait till next?
Yeah.
It'd be fine for me. Integration, transition, success. Any oral reports?
Good afternoon, everybody. Annette Becker, DSC. Summer is a wonderful time to be more involved in the community. We have, at the end of the last quarter, we have 20 people who are spending at least 40% of their time in the community. And we have one individual who, in addition to spending 70% of his time that he's with us at Clark Road, he also was recently employed. So he spends a lot of time in the community, and then he also spends the rest of his time at his newly obtained community job. We have 6 volunteer groups that are going out right now. The newest one, since people use the MTD a great deal, they are volunteering to clean up some of the bus shelters. So they've adopted a couple bus shelters, and they recently shared their picture with their first shelter that they've taken care of. So things are just going really well. I think one of my favorite groups that's going out in the summer, there's a group of people who enjoy fishing, so they're going fishing every week. And what we've practiced is no matter how large the fish you catch, you say it's this big. And they're catching on. They were being very truthful and showing the actual size, but now when I ask, everybody says their fish was this big. So I think they'll be real fishermen by the end of the year. But that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any others?
Uh, interest. I apologize. I don't have an interpreter here today, so I will do my best to be clear. I just wanted to share with you that one of my consumers, I'm pissed, approached us and wanted to put together a panel discussion that talked about growing up with a disability and becoming more independent. With our help, we've gotten that all put together. It's going to be on the first Thursday in August from 3 to 4:30. I think I've sent a flyer for that. So if you did not get a flyer, let me know and I will send you one. It's a very positive thing for the community, especially for parents of kids that have disabilities that are in their teenage years. And I know that a lot of parents might have a lot of concerns and reservations about allowing their child to grow up and be more independent. So this is an opportunity for them to come listen to people who have already been there and done that. And so I hope to see you guys there and please press the information forward to your contacts. That'd be very helpful. I hope I'm clear enough, but if you have questions, I will be able to repeat myself if I need to be.
I have a question. Dylan, I may have missed part of this, but how was the turnout for the first panel a week or two ago?
We had a few people come, but not many, and we are hoping for a lot more in August.
So, Dylan sent me that flyer. If you would like, may I just forward it to them? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Thank you, Dylan. We have included in our board packet the cultural and linguistic competent plans. Do you want to say anything, Shauna?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to let you know that all of the plans that were funded by the IDD and DD agents programs, well, not programs, the agencies, are actually in here. What will happen is that anyone who needed updates, anyone who needed any additional changes, those will be done in the first quarter reports versus submitting like additional updates that they've done. So once they've submitted their first quarter reports, that's when they'll do different updates on those plans. And I also wanted to let you know, last month I was not here, and I wanted to let you know, since we didn't have it on the agenda item, I have the actual video for the that we utilized at the Ebert Fest that was shown before our sponsored film. And after the meeting is over, you're welcome. It's 1 minute and 5 seconds. And so after the meeting is over, feel free to stay and you can watch it. And if you'd like a copy, I have a couple of copies.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we could see it.
Yeah, it's a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's raining.
I better get out of the way so I don't block it.
I need to hire a driver so they can drive my van. Usually I have somebody carry any refreshments I might buy, and I need to sit in one of the wheelchair seats that's closer to the screen because in addition to being in a chair, I'm visually impaired.
I'm a plus-sized woman, and I've been to movie theaters where the seating has not been wide enough, and I need comfortable seating.
Is I have long legs and they need more space.
I have a son who is 15 years old. We both have health issues that require us to have special accommodation. My son needs space because he is uncomfortable if he has someone in his personal space. For myself, I never know what my balance is going to be like. So it's very important for me to have enough room to move around or a railing to hold on to.
So this was the first year that we actually were able to do, we got permission to actually do a spot before our sponsored film. So hopefully we will have additional opportunities to be able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the 1 minute movie.
She did a good job.
Yes. 1 minute.
Yes. I think so too. You want to say something about?
The next thing on the agenda actually is approval of the board for the anti-stigma event, the Roger Ebert Film Festival. And I just wanted to take a few seconds to remind everybody that in our the criteria that we set last November and that we have set, we have identified stigma and discrimination against people with disabilities as one of our major, as a major concern. And the two events that we sponsor related to stigma are the Roger Ebert Film Festival and the Expo. The Roger Ebert Film Festival, I want to remind people, is a coalition. If you look at the document that you have there, you'll see that there is a list of the agencies that participate, and it's very little money for the pop that we get, which is about 21,000 people that attend, in addition to the art show that is always there. And in this document, there is information from the different artists that have talked about their feelings related to art. And so the major point that I want to make is that this is an opportunity for us to reach out to the general public 21,000 people. There are 25,000 of the brochures that are, not this brochure, but the program that has our advertisement, which really is, you know, covers the general population. And it may come as a surprise to some of you, but there are actually people that do discriminate against people with disabilities, that don't want people with disabilities living in their neighborhoods, that discriminate related to employment, and don't really fully understand the fact that people with disabilities have hopes and dreams and desires and want good things for themselves in life. And that's what the whole purpose of this is. Everything that we have done here locally, if you look at the federal and the state level, SAMHSA has an anti-stigma event. So the bottom line is this is what we do to address that particular issue, more of a public health kind of approach to it. And if we don't do this, we need to do something else. So, you know, and I think, you know, the main thing is that that's the issue that we're trying to deal with. And that's my introduction, and I would encourage you. I think that at this point we've really gotten a lot of bang for the buck out of this and reach a lot of people.
So this year we got a couple of new things out of it too that we could, I don't know if they're as valuable as I think they are, but we had some radio coverage, which was, it was that the 21st, that program on WILL. And we also, I had a lot of new involvement with University of Illinois classes, starting with this and the artists as the focus. Anyway, just, I thought there was maybe a lot of potential with that piece, because as students are here, but they can be in a bubble the whole time they're here, and some of them are interested in the community. And this was a way for them to sort of neatly and joyfully connect with some of our community that they might never have met. So those were good things, I thought, too.
Are we discussing now?
We probably need a motion.
We need a motion first.
Mike, turn your mic on.
Sorry. If you didn't hear me, we're authorizing up to $30,000. Of that, $12,645 is our board share of that, and that can be offset by the amount that's contributed, which last year was approximately $6,500. But our motion today would be to approve up to $12,645 to support next year's Ebert Fest. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve so that we can discuss.
Have a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
I just really want, I think about this a lot, this anti-stigma program a lot. And it's been done for a number of years. I'd be interested in knowing about how many of that 21,000 attendees are repeat customers, so to speak, who have been exposed to the films that are presented and are really there really because they really support that measure. They're already kind of in the camp. I'm wondering if it might be time to consider using those monies for a more direct purpose. I'm really interested in outcomes. I'd like to know how many people have been directly affected, have received a call to action, so to speak, to do something related to having seen the film. Are there college students who have been involved in it who are now choosing a career in human services work, for example, because of this film or something like it that they've seen in the community? Are there people with disabilities who've now become employed as a result of potential employers sitting in the audience and having seen that. I'd really like to feel that there's been a movement, that there's been a call to action, and there are positive outcomes for the people in our community with disabilities related to this. And I'm not sure that we're able to show that. So I'm just wondering if there might be a better use, you know, a time to look in another direction for something.
I agree with Barb about that, but I also need to say that over the last few years, I think the state of Illinois has actually been the discriminator. And by that I mean we are not getting the money we need for direct service. Therefore, I will vote against this. And the reason that I will do that is because I think that money needs to go for direct service. You know, it's a matter of conscience for me, and that's why I'm going to be voting against it.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I think one of the things that I might offer for consideration is, given that we don't have perhaps the full board and we're doing the search for an executive director, one of the things I envision is that the new executive director would look at the programs that we're currently funding in terms of what he or she would recommend to the board. So since this is a community event, I would just add that we might want to table it until we get the executive director and we look at that. We ask that to be one of the first things that's reviewed for the new board and also for the new director, and get input from the community.
And in going about tabling, do we just not call for a vote? Is that what we do? Or do we amend our recommendation?
Yeah, you can move to table.
We might be able to defer that to a later date.
One of the options on the decision memo is additional information needed. Is that appropriate? Okay.
Would you amend your motion to table or approve until we get additional information? Yeah.
I move that we table or defer the decision on the Alliance Roger Ebert anti-stigma event until we can obtain further information.
And do we have a second?
Second.
More discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we will push that forward until we have the full board and I guess a new director. Old business, the report for the search for a new executive director.
I've been away for about 11 days, so I don't think too much has happened while I was gone. But we had come to the point that we had a good applicant pool for the position. From that applicant pool, we determined some top candidates that we wanted to continue to consider. That was presented. All of that information was presented to the boards. And at that point, the search committee pretty much turned over our job. We feel we had finished our job, and at this point I do believe that on-site interviews are in the process of being scheduled. Does anybody else have?
I just want to thank Deb. As we know, Susan Fowler was in charge of the search, and Deb was on the search committee, and I just want to thank Susan and Deb, and I just want to thank Susan and Mike and Deb just for really outstanding, thorough, time-consuming, professional work that you did on the search committee. I know it took a lot of time and extremely well done.
Thank
And I will point out that it was Deb and Sue that did the majority of all that hard work. The rest of us met and listened and read and voted. That was it.
It's still a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, what you read.
Yeah, it was. Well, do we have an update for Employment First?
So there have been a lot of changes. I'm going to talk about the LEAP certification process. There have been a lot of changes both at DSC and Community Choices. So Becca's including learning a lot about our business training program, along with everything else that she's doing. We've had very productive meetings looking at the upcoming year. Chike Coleman is the new Employment First LEAP coordinator at DSC. The two people who had initially been doing the certification training for the businesses, Jamie Stevens from Community Choices and Michelle Petty from DSC, both are gone. So Chike is learning the presentation, and he and I are going to be the dog and pony show initially until I don't remember her name.
Ashley Withers is, she has been... Sorry. She has been an employee at Community Choices as an employment specialist. She's currently on maternity leave, but when she returns in mid-August, she's going to be taking on the role of lead employment specialist. And as about 50% of her job, she is going to be collaborating with Chike and with DSC to provide those LEAP trainings and to work on the collaboration on Employment First. So that's kind of where we stand right now. We've been meeting and discussing sort of a work plan for the upcoming year. So we have sort of direction to go as we move forward with the new staff and new kind of leadership team there.
The changes actually came at a very good time because we wanted to kind of take a step back at the end of the fiscal year. And we've identified some questions as a follow-up to the businesses who have already been certified. If they're going to participate in the training, we want for them to be able to see a change in their business after they have gone through the training that says they're disability aware. So we're going to reach out in person to all of the businesses and just ask them how things have changed in their business. Have they identified accommodations? And if it's not helpful, we want to get some feedback from them, and we'd like to take the opportunity right now to kind of tweak the presentation. So we've kind of done that. And then, you know, beginning the new outreach. And also, in addition to the changes at that level, both of us have had changes in our community employment specialists. So the people who actually do the job development, I've had three people leave over the last several weeks. So I will have one person who has been doing this for over 15 years, and then the next person will have 4 months of experience. So, you know, we're going to have a learning curve. People choose to get married and move away. I don't know why they can't just do that long-distance relationship. It's beyond me. But so, again, this was perfect timing. It's a good time for us to really make sure that what we're presenting to the business community is something that's going to be helpful to them.
Yeah, and on the same token, we also have an additional new employment specialist. It's Erin Hendricks, and she was an intern with us, so she has some experience, but also new to employment support. So we're very excited to have her and looking forward to working together and kind of having a bit of a fresh start.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm going to continue that just a little bit on the broader scope, reminding you that our committee that had Deb and Sue and Community Choices and DSC management all started a couple years ago talking about a plan and moving this forward. I guess it's been a little 2.5 years, 3 years now. We go on. But again, without covering all that, the next step was a little over a year ago. We sent Patty and Annette and Laura and Danielle went to what's called the Vermont Conference, Vermont converted to all community-based activities a few years ago. And Well, you'll learn more. You'll learn more about that, and I encourage you to go on and look, and we'll share more. We can't. Our intent is not to replicate that system. Vermont did it statewide, and it's a much smaller state, and there's a lot of reasons. But we're learning from that, and a lot of the principles. And from that, we've told you a few months ago that we've engaged the services with your resources of Brian Daigh, who is from Vermont, not to write our plan, but to assist us and look at our community plan, and particularly DSE oriented, and working with Community Choices and others to continue in that direction, to develop a plan to be more community focused and do that, which you're hearing is going on as we speak. So on June 27th through the 30th, Brian came to town. The contract we've engaged in is he'll be here approximately 15 days over the next year, spread out, and we'll have several conversations and email exchanges with him. And so what happened after the first meeting is he took all his notes back and then shared them with Patty, and Patty gathered all the stuff we have, and so now it goes a lot of what's the next steps and what does he need to continue to try to assist us. When he came the first day, he met with the, by the way, and part of that plan will be for him to come and visit with you and to learn what your expectations are, what you want, and to sort of tell you what we're doing and to give you a little bit more about what's going on in Vermont and around the country. When he came on the 27th, he met with the primarily the upper management team of DSE for most of the first morning and did a lot of touring during different parts of the day, starting that afternoon in the next few days. On Tuesday morning, he met with the mid-management level staff and a lot of the direct implementers of this across programs and spent a lot of time talking with them. On that Tuesday evening, we had the parent meeting at the Hayes Center, where parents and parents, a few consumers, and some guardians came and listened to and asked a lot of good questions. And it was fairly well attended, I believe, and the questions were good, and it was really interesting. A lot of people that were so, a lot of concerns, very comfortable with the system we have now, and so there were some people that were, yes, I'm really anxious to do this, and let's talk about it. There was others going, oh, it's going to happen. And so that's part of this whole process, is bringing us all on at the same level, and so that happened. Continued with conversations throughout the next day and then wrapped up. And so again, we're moving. We'll continue to report over the next few months. He'll be meeting also with the DSE Board of Directors. The first one was to really get on ground, learn about what we're doing, visit the different sites, see the different programs, hear about the things we've got going and the things we're changing and have decided to change and impacts that might happen. So we got to learn a lot about each other before we can, you know, finish that plan. So if you have any questions, we'll be glad to answer, but we will work with your staff and this board to schedule a time to get him to meet with you and learn more about, because as we make this change, we're going to have to do it together, because DSE's board can't make decisions alone, and we need your guidance of what those priorities are and how we look at that moving forward. So thank you. Any questions?
I would just like to commend Dale, you and DSE and Community Choices. As you said, Deb and I have both been working with you on this, and I think it's tremendous progress. I love the idea of bringing people together, because I know there's a lot of concerns, like you said, about employment first and changes. So I want to commend you on bringing people together to talk about that, honestly, and just the progress you've made, and especially during hard financial times in the state where you've had a lot on your plate.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Well, thank you. And again, I appreciate the relationship we've created and continue to have with Community Choices and the partnership we're developing there. The other thing I would like to, in the future, I'd like us to not consider this as just employment first. I think we need to talk about more community integrated, because I'm also serving on the statewide, and there's a lot of discussions about, and you've heard other things, of what we're doing with groups, people that we aren't quite ready for employment or other parts of their life, looking at things we can do to get people more integrated and involved in the community of choices and things they want to do when it's not their work time, and how those two reflect, because as we move to this work model, there's going to be less resources, and again, that natural community supports, and as we develop that, we need to look at that whole person concept, and not just if sheltered work goes away, but what their whole life needs to look like, and that's what we're doing. And so as a group, that's what we want to talk with you about, is that employment and what the rest of their life looks like during that process.
And I think I probably, I don't want to speak for the whole board, but I wouldn't have any problem if there's a more descriptive phrase that we want to use other than employment first. I think we're we're very open to hearing your suggestions on that.
Yeah, I think they're both very important. It's a great term, but I think we need to look at the whole person's life. So again, I'm not sure I serve on that state committee, innovative and flexible day program. I'm not sure anything's gonna be really innovative, but doing things differently in how you look. The one thing you're gonna find out that's different in the model is DSC has a concept. We've been taking care of people. We take them 30 hours a week, and we pretty much feel like we do it. You know, with resources, you may not be able to do that going forward. You may not. It's not that you change things dramatically, but as you look at that, what can you do within your resources, particularly if you're going to focus more on community employment, that may leave you less resources. So you really got to look on community supports and other activities, very similar to the model Community Choices uses, to make sure that there are other people, that they are getting the supports they need. And so how much does that need to be professional, and how much does that need to be community? We need to look at that whole concept. And so that's going to be one of the struggles families are really going to have with. To be real honest, families DSC served is they're used to that support and being taken care of and how we move to that. So I'm not telling you it's going to happen, but those are the things we're struggling with and working through, and we're going to work with the families and the staff members and our boards, both of these boards, to make that happen. Thank you.
Sure.
So I think we talked about this before, and I know Dale was on the call that it was the task force call, so I'm just listening on those calls there. If the state fails to comply with that HCBS integrated settings rule, which is aspirational and not very well defined by CMS, so CMS is just in the process of responding to each state, one state at a time, to the draft plans, and then kind of, I mean, it's really not clear what they're demanding, but it's becoming more clear. And on that call, we learned that if the state fails to comply, we will lose $800 million of federal money so into the system. And I recently also learned that Governor Rauner is actually supportive of capturing Medicaid dollars, of taking, you know, of using other funding when it's available. That's not true of all governors, but Rauner made that commitment. So it's not likely that the sincere work on a transition plan is going to stop under this governor. So there, we really have to do integrated settings or lose all that money. And one of the recent challenges to integrated settings comes from ARC and a bunch of other advocacy groups saying that you can't integrate a setting by just bringing people without disabilities into it. So one of my dreams was dashed when I saw that. But that's, I think, an objection to, it's not Tennessee, it's another state with an almost approved plan. So this is important. And then the HHS transformation work groups have started in earnest now. So hopefully they'll help to contribute to this work on integrated settings. And it is not just for employment, it's for all of those connecting services and all of the day services and for all of the populations served under Medicaid. So
I'm on that transformation work group also, and that's a real challenge because we've got a lot of creative people that want to do things, and the parameters that keep it being set by the staff there is we're going to do all this stuff, and it's particularly the first focus is on supported employment, the group I'm on, and community employment. But they're saying that they're still trying to do this cost neutral. So to try to think we're going to do the community employment stuff that we need to do with $11,800 bucks a year is just not going to happen. Or expecting to get the same amount of hours, the 30 hours, you can't do both. And so it's got to be given on one end. So some of us are pushing back real hard, pushing back that I think it's embarrassing to bring a bunch of parents and consumers and providers together to make recommendations and call us a group, but then put those two parameters on it when you can't do it. I'm not going to sign my name on it. So it's going to be, it's pretty loud and clear that we're, you know, let the governor's office or others cut that, but we should be saying what we need. And if the resources are not there, they can cut that back. But for us to submit and sign our name on a system that we can do this within those same current resources is crazy. So anyway, I went long enough. The other thing I do want to end with that has nothing to do with this is that we're still waiting for the governor, folks. The bill got for the DSP wages got all the way to the top. So I don't, you know, people are really concerned what will ever happen. But, boy, if that happened, the ability for us to do things and to hire people and to move forward with our Muhammad Group home and for, you know, the staffing of all the homes and the day programs, our staffing crisis is no less now than it was over the last 3 or 4 months, and that's happening statewide, and a lot of organizations are closing and downsizing and collapsing programs and going back from 4 beds to 8 beds, and all that nuts stuff is still going crazy. But if we can get that, if the governor could sign that, it would really change the system, be a good start toward changing the system.
Dale, can I just ask you one question about that? Do you have any fear that this, that if he signs it, we'll have an unfunded mandate?
No, if he signs it, it's done. I mean, everybody always goes, where the money's going to come from? Once it signs, it may not get paid forever, but it actually, the fact is if it gets signed, as long as the consent decree is in place on Ligas and that judge is there, we would get paid. And so, yeah, there'd be a lot of, by the way, this would be a big problem. So if it gets funded, it's big problems, because who's going to get 15? Who's going to get 13? Where's benefits fall? All this, I love those problems. We'll live with that, and we'll work with your staff to help us overcome those. Those are the kind of problems I'd rather deal with later. But we've got to have it before we can worry about it. So thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you all. Still update?
Nothing new. Well, oh, do you?
I have good news. I got a call from a neighbor who can see the house, the new house, and he said he was very happy it was there. And he gave us his name and contact information, and he's got his eye on people just in case. I thought that was really great. Good neighbor.
That is good news.
Mike,
yes.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
And I see that on Thursday night's county board meeting, there is a budget transfer that the county board's being asked to make, and it has to do with Cellus. So I wonder if somebody can help me with that so that maybe Matt and I can better explain it to the county board when it comes up.
You want me to do it, Nancy, or you want to do it? Well, basically, we had the SILA was included as part of the regular budget, and we created a separate account for SILA. That was a recommendation of the auditor's office and the outside auditor. So that has to do, the transfer has to do with creating this separate SILA account so that it is entirely separate from...
When they set it up, they put it in 090054. We, mental health is 090053, so they put a fund within a fund. I questioned it in January when we had a meeting with them saying that it was more appropriate to have it stand alone, because then we would know exactly how much money was in the SILA fund at any given time. Because otherwise, it was just all one bank account. So what we're trying to do is set up 101054 to make it a standalone department.
That helps. We've taken some action along those lines. This is just to continue to make it so that it suits the auditor a little better.
It's so they can accept the money from the end of 2015, what they determined was in the fund. Now they're setting it up so that it can be its own bank account and we can have a monthly balance so I know exactly how much money belongs to the SILA and how much money does not.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. I think, any other board announcements?
About the schedule, I mean, you may not be able to answer this right now, but we could, there's no meeting scheduled for October because the day that we would normally meet is the 19th, and this room wasn't available at 8 or noon, but it is available from 3:30 to 5:30, and at 5:30 the mental health board meets. So if you wanted, all the rest of the meetings for the year are at 8 o'clock, which is very nice, but if you wanted to have one that was at an off time in October, we could put it next to the mental health board meeting. That was hard for you guys when we were all together, but.
Thank you. I think I'd like to defer to our incoming president. I would think that while we don't have to make a decision today, we are going to meet again in September, correct? We do not have a meeting in August, but we will meet in September, and we could decide then.
That's good. I'll have plenty of time to learn the Roberts rules.
October, my thinking would be that maybe we should grab the space while it's available, the time, and then we can decide if we really need to have a meeting or want to just...
Because it was available right before the mental health board meeting, I was thinking, wow, if you wanted a study session about CQL's performance outcome measures, maybe that would be a nice time, because both boards fund the two agencies who are accredited by CQL, so they both might like to hear that. So anyway, just...
Okay, that has some appeal to see if we can get that scheduled. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
None. If I could, I would actually really like that. I talked to Peter about this already, but I'm actually a teacher, so that's why I was able to come today, because I'm off for this summer. Okay. But I agreed to just fill all of Sam Shore's roles as county board, so I'm not going to be able to come to any 8 a.m. or noon meetings. But this is something I am very much interested in, very much passionate about, so anytime that a meeting could maybe be later in the day, I would very much love to come. So that possibly even once the new board is elected, I could continue to be involved.
Since we're one of the organizations that you'd be asking to present, that's the only state conference that I should.
Oh.
It seems to me that that's something we've got. We do not meet in August, so we have plenty of time between now and the September meeting to figure out what we want to do.
Right.
So our next meeting is September 21st at 8 a.m., and then we'll determine at that time what we're going to do in October. Is there anything else for today? Do I hear a move to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. I'm turning Phil's gavel.